autismspectrum.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King and joined here by Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, to take your financial questions. 715-845-2155. We are live today, so give us a call and let us know what you need to know regarding your portfolio. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, whatever the case may be, give us a call here this morning. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Tom. Good morning, everybody. Just to let you know, if you're coming through Wausau, watch out for Bridge Street. It is a...
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a quagmire.
It's going to take a while to get through that, too. A few more weeks, I think, before they're all...
Of busting roads and patching holes.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, we could get a part-time job. Why don't we broadcast live from the construction site out there?
No, that's okay. Of course, you sit there long enough in traffic, maybe you could. I guess that's one of the things you talk about sometimes, is that you base some of your ideas about what's happening by talking to people who are working in certain industries. Warren Buffett always said, I think it was Warren Buffett who said, I like to invest in companies where I see the parking lots full when it comes to retail places and things like that. When you see this much road construction going on, it may be time to invest in the people that make concrete,
you know,
smashing equipment and
it's
all of that stuff.
It's interesting that you say this, because coming down the road and I'm looking at the construction. This is on Highway 39 going north and south here through Wausau, folks. And I'm looking at it. I'm seeing they're busting up the old road, because they're busting up the old road, redoing everything, putting in new bridges, finishing up that construction project that we had going on the last few years around here. And for one of the first times, at least in my world, I saw them taking the huge chunks of old road and dropping them in this giant crusher. And this giant crusher is not only busting it up, but you see the metal spitting off to the side, and you see it breaking it all up, and then they take this stuff and they put it down inside of piles, and they spread it out to use as a new base for the new road coming in. I'm thinking, man, what a brilliant idea. And for the life of me, I actually, folks, was trying to look around and see who makes the crushers to crush up the road. And why is that? Because I'm looking at it going, God, what a great idea. I bet that company's doing well. Of course, I have not seen the name of that crusher. But that shows exactly, as you're saying, where my brain starts going through and saying, you know, geez, road construction, who's making that equipment? That's really neat. You know, so then I'm thinking I have a bunch of stuff in my, you know, palatial estate, as you call it, which, by the way, is a trailer in the woods.
Right.
That I thought, well, man, that'd be kind of neat if you just kind of crush it up and shred that stuff up and just bury it or put it back in again, rather than having to have it sit there in piles. And, well, so then my brain starts thinking. But, you know, it is nice to see all the road construction that's going on. Now, I think a lot of the stuff that's happening inside of Wausau on Bridge Street is because of repairs. Anybody just had to drive down Bridge Street recently to notice the amount of roads that got busted up from all the plowing this past year. And so, yeah, maybe Mother Nature is giving us a bit of a tip in the right direction, at least from a construction standpoint. But, boy, almost everybody I know that's doing some sort of construction work, building work, housework, digging holes, building windows. Everybody's going right now. I mean, everybody's building windows. I don't hear of many people that are laid off inside of the industry. I'm not saying they're not, but at least I have not heard of them at this point in time. Again, continues to tell us that the economy is continuing to keep moving forward. Again, I'm not saying good or great, but it's doing okay. It's and matter of fact, the economic numbers are showing that too, with the exception of the consumer sentiment reports coming out of our friends at the University of Michigan, which I think they probably have too many cocktails to really have a good measurement anyway.
Well, it was a tough.
I say that tongue in cheek.
It was a tough week for the stock market. The S&P 500 and Dow Industrials suffered their worst week in 2 months. We've talked and we've had people say that, well, the market is heading toward a bubble anyway, and a correction is necessary. Is this one of those bumps in the road you talk about, one step backward, two steps forward, that we're looking at?
You know, I think we just need some sort of a catalyst to have the market kind of reset a little bit. That catalyst, I think, became Iraq. So just as we saw Greece happening a number of years ago here, where every time something happened inside of Greece, we saw the market pull back, which, why Greece, I have no idea. And from an economic standpoint, Iraq's really not going to have much of an effect on the U.S. anyway, other than fear boosting up the oil prices, which, of course, we've already seen happen. So expect gas prices to come up a little bit, which always has a detrimental effect on our economy in the sense that it acts like another tax. It takes away from some of our discretionary income. And you know, expectations are already, we're going to start seeing that come near $4. You know what? We're already near $4 anyway. But the amount of oil that Iraq puts out into the open marketplace is probably really not enough to cause a dramatic effect. So from that, I think it's just more the instability of Iraq. It's what's going on than anything else. We saw the market up yesterday some 42 points as President Obama said that he didn't think that we're going to end up committing any troops. In fact, he said we're not going to commit any troops. Later on, I think he said at this time, if necessary, and kind of that sort of thing. But with that, the market held up yesterday. We're up about 42 points. But a little bit of corrective action, nothing new, nothing that's surprising anybody. Still enormously low volume, which means there's not a lot of people trading inside of the markets right now. I think all the typical summer stuff that happens. We've had, of course, the last number of years, the summertime where the markets have come down simply because of lack of people buying. And if you don't have people buying inside of the stock market will tend to trend down a little bit. And if you think about it, what are people doing that have investments in the stock market? Well, if they're gone for the summer, they're pulling some money back out for retirement or vacations or some of this sort of nature. And so the market tends to drift down a little bit. And, again, not surprising if we'll see that. We've been very busy in our office, still continuing to buy as we see expansion going on. If we take a look at the forecast for GDP over the course of the next few quarters, we can see, if I can get my page down here, GDP projections are forecast for July 30th for the second quarter is 3.7%. When we look at the quarter being minus 1% over the last quarter, first quarter of 2014, we've got some work to do as far as some growth in the economy, which, of course, should lend itself to some growth in the markets, too. So with that as well, as we're also seeing a 3%, a 3%.
Not enough sleep last night or what?
We do have to admit, we drove down to Appleton to see the Phantom of the Opera last night. It was absolutely fantastic. Had a great time. But then we drove all the way back last night because we had the radio show this morning.
Right.
So I thought it'd be easier to do it. So, you know, you're crawling into bed at 12:30 and you're like, oh, yeah, you finally get in there and.
Welcome to my world.
Well, I don't know how you do it. So our GDP then for the third quarter of 2014, 3%, 3.3% for the fourth quarter. So again, looking at this, folks, we need to have some good growth happening inside of the economy to make sure we're hitting these numbers, which should lend itself to the marketplace too. So that being the case, we're seeing all the good economic numbers coming, all doing pretty well. I think we see a couple of blips that are happening instead of June. I don't see this anything like we saw in 2008. There's nothing to point to that direction. But we see some blips and bouncing around as we've seen in the summertime. By no means out of the contrary or unexpected.
So the naysayers who are claiming that we are nearing another recession or that the economy is going to be going into the tank shortly, you're not a buyer of that.
By no means.
Pessimism.
And I'm a firm believer that if I see it stinking, I'm going to say it's stinking, though I do tend to be an optimist. It's just not there. We just don't see those types of numbers.
One guy who made the determination, and we don't have to deal with him specifically, but Peter Schiff, who has been a naysayer for a long time about the economy, said that the only way to make money at this point is to leave America. And by leaving America, he meant moving your money outside of the United States stock market and into other places. We've talked before on the program about international stocks being an important part of your portfolio. How much of your portfolio, I guess, is the argument?
You know, you ask probably about four questions in the middle of there.
I'll tell you what. Think about those for a minute. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and, revisit that. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle, this is the time to get it answered. Give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
I'm in Yosemite National Park to talk Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream with the Miller family. So how many itchy bug bites and rashes do you have?
33 bites.
34.
And a case of poison ivy.
It itches.
Do not scratch.
Miller family, relief starts now. Gold Bond has twice the itch-fighting medicine of hydrocortisone cream.
Ooh.
Plus aloe and vitamin E. It's fast relief on contact.
Feels better already. Who's up for a hike?
Look at the big kitty.
I'm out. Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream. Relief starts now.
Have you heard the buzz about West Nile virus? Protect yourself and your family from the mosquito bites that spread the virus. When you go outside, use mosquito repellent containing DEET. When possible, wear long sleeve shirts and pants. And remove standing water around your home where mosquitoes breed. Anyone can become infected, but if you're over 50, you're at higher risk for severe disease or even death from West Nile virus. Remember, the best defense comes from things you can do yourself. Fight the bite. Tell mosquitoes to buzz off.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
There's what Gramps is listening to.
That's beautiful music to me.
And what your kid is listening to.
Kelly, can you come? Earth to Kelly.
But the hits.
Hey!
Rock your summer.
Get up! Get out of here! Go!
Playing all the hits.
And there it goes!
All season long. Brewers Baseball on the Brewers Station. AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And the Brewers back in action tonight, taking on the Reds at Miller Park. And you can hear the game right here. Pre-game show at 540. We're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates. Before the break, we're discussing international stocks and what part they should play in your portfolio. And we're going to dive into what you said were a few different questions in the mix.
Well, certainly a few different questions. This pops up from an article by, it was about Peter Schiff.
First of all, tell people who Peter Schiff is.
Well, Peter Schiff has been around for a long time, and Peter Schiff runs now a portfolio called Euro-Pacific Capital. So it's run by he and his brother. He is a person who, the Fed is terrible, the U.S. is great, we got to get rid of this and get rid of that.
Buy gold.
I mean, conspiracy type of a thing. And I'm not saying he's bad, or he certainly has some points I like, some points I don't. But inside this article, Peter Schiff is saying we have to get out of the U.S. because the U.S. is falling apart. There's going to be a bubble. It's all falling apart, and it's going to happen any day. And though there's some points in here I can agree with, largely, I don't think it's going to happen, at least anytime soon or within our immediate lifetime. So with this, he's saying we got to get out of the U.S., which is because in here, the opinion that comes out of Howard Gold's article is, and by the way, says Peter Schiff says leave the U.S. to make a fortune. That's the name of the article. The opinion, the Fed has created a bubble, which will lead to catastrophe, he says. Again, I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but I do agree that we have to look outside of the U.S. and looking outside of the U.S. for a number of different reasons. Again, if we go back to the old numbers, 30 years ago, 2/3 of all the investment opportunity in the world, folks, were inside the United States. Today, it's outside the United States. We have to look around the world because that's where the money's being made the fastest. Now, when I say that I think we're going to have a good year in the U.S. this year, I do mean so. But I don't think that we're going to end up having that 20% that we saw happen last year and that, in the mid-caps of 20 and 30% we saw the year before. I don't think we're going to see that type of rate of return. In my opinion, we were catching up for years time past as a result of the drop down from 2008, 2009 area. But as a result of that, then, we still continue to see the U.S. grow and have a good year. I don't know. Maybe we have a normal year that maybe it's 8% in a blended portfolio or something of this nature, but not the 20. And I'm not predicting that that's going to be, but I'm just giving a guess, for lack of a better term. But the internationals now are kind of in the place that we were, say, 3 or 4 years ago, and that they got the interest rate down. They're starting to get their feet underneath them. Things are starting to chug along a little bit from the international community. We look at it. We just saw the European Central Bank last week on Thursday lower their interest rate down to 0.25. 0.15. And so that being the case, I think that the international marketplace, by the way, and we take a look at our international portfolios this year within our office, we see that, you know, it's easy to see 4.5%, 5% on a couple of different funds as far as the rate of return goes in the international marketplace. And so that's really been one of the places to really hold us up and give us a nice rate of return, as we saw that the large caps like your Dows and that whole bit really have done not much this year. So that being the case, I think the international marketplace really does have a nice opportunity coming up, as the European theater is now coming up and is poised to probably have better than average growth, the same thing as we saw the U.S. economy for the last 2 years. So that being the case, how much do we put in it? Well, you know, that number is out to throw it out, but modern portfolio theory would suggest is from your equity allocations, as much as about 30% of your portfolio should be international. What that does is gives you the best rate of return for the least amount of risk as far as a measure goes, using what's called the efficient market frontier. And I know, Tom, that's a lot of big, heavy words, but that's the nature that they say. So if your total portfolio is worth $100, and of that portfolio, you put $50 of it inside of the equity or the stock marketplace, that would say then $15 of that 50 should be inside of international portfolios. Now, I'm a bigger fan of using global portfolios versus international, and I'll talk about that difference in a second, but that's the percentage you say, using modern portfolio theory, a whole bunch of smart guys that won Nobel Prizes, all that kind of stuff, and really the backbone of what we talk about on this program quite a bit. Now, I said I like using global rather than international. Important to note on this, folks. International is that fund, whether it's inside of your 401k or it's inside of your investment or mutual fund mix, wherever it is, international means outside the United States. I like global because global means including the United States. I like the idea of having the portfolio manager to have the ability to say, well, I'm going to invest inside of Ireland and Greece and Germany, and then I'm going to invest inside of Japan and mainland China if I can. I'm going to invest in all of those. But if all of those aren't doing well, I want to have the ability to add a little bit of money inside of the Americas, inside the U.S., if those aren't doing well. I like to have them.
But if you're a naysayer, then you think that the United States economy isn't going to be doing well. You don't want to be in it at all, do you?
Well, then you might want to be the international side of things. I always think it's a good idea to leave the option open for the portfolio manager that's out there. And we had talked about it before. I like using mutual funds on the international marketplace, and simply because they know those funds and those companies and have people in those countries looking for the specific companies that we want to invest in.
Schiff and his ilk also talk a lot about gold, precious metals, and in fact, he talks about some of his clients not only have at least 10% of their money in gold, but also in gold prospecting is not the right word, but gold
mining
gold
stocks.
Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. Mining stocks, yeah.
Yeah, he predicted gold was going to be at $5,000 an ounce.
Yeah.
So,
So at this point in time, if people are looking at precious metals, where should they be as far, in your opinion, as far as a percentage?
You should never go more than 10% inside of a precious metal. That's just kind of a general rule that's been out there for a long time.
Even when it was skyrocketing and going up.
Well, the whole thing is when it was going up, nobody knew how long it was going to go
right.
up. The difficulty that I have with precious metals and gold, and by the way, where gold is sitting for a price right now, and if I can be really fast, I can actually tell us where it is at the moment. If we take a look at gold, which is somewhere around $1,276 per ounce as of Friday, the problem with gold is so volatile, and that's where I have an issue with gold. I don't have any problem with gold as far as a price. And at $1,276 an ounce, I don't think it's all that bad of a price, because we're just looking at some $1,900 per ounce not that long ago. I mean, probably within the last year if we want to take a look at a chart quick. So I don't have a problem with gold as an investment by any means, especially at this price. I think at this price, if we look at it 5 years from now, we'll have a nice, handsome profit in buying the gold. The problem is we have to make sure we know what we're doing and how we're buying it. As far as the premiums when we're purchasing and the discounts when we're selling it, we have to keep that in mind. And most people don't do that. Most people just get excited.
Look at the price, yeah.
Yeah, they look at the price and say, I'm going to buy gold. And they say, okay, so the price is, $1,276 an ounce. And with $1,276 an ounce, well, we're also going to have to put $250 to buy it. Okay, but I'll own it at $1,276. Well, now you don't own it at $1,276 because you have to have $250 to it. Now you're sitting at $1,700 an ounce to make any money. And the unfortunate part is most people don't see it that way.
Well, so plus you got to pay a premium at the other end. That we've talked about this on the show before. It boggles my mind that you have to pay a premium on both ends of a sale.
Exactly.
Like that.
And so the unfortunate part is what I see is that so many people get into the precious metals, wherever it is, whether it's gold or whether it's silver. I'm less of an issue with silver just because the spreads are so much different, is that a person says, okay, I want to buy the gold, and then they're just buying it wrong. You know, if you want to buy gold for a short-term trade, and I've said it on this program before, if you're going to buy it for a short-term trade, and I'm not recommending this, but if this is your direction that you want to go, for a short-term trade, buy an ETF, buy an exchange-traded fund where you can buy it in the morning. If you need to, you can sell it in the afternoon. Don't recommend it. But if you need to sell it in 2 weeks or a month or 2 months on the road, you need to sell it, you can sell it and hopefully make the profit if you think gold is going to go one direction or another. If you think gold is going to be a great investment, you want to hold on to a bunch of it, and you're going to hold on to it for 5 years or for 10 years, go buy the physical actual gold and put it inside of a safe. I think it's a better bet to do it. You don't have any carrying costs along the way. But the whole issue is that you have to know why you're buying it. If you're buying it because you're looking at what's happened over the course of the last 5 years, and that's fantastic, and everybody's saying look at for the last 5 years because it's gone up so much and it's going to continue to do that in the future, I think you're missing the boat on why gold goes up. Gold goes up because it's used in manufacturing. You know, we see the Chinese buying a ton of gold that's out there, and it's because they need it as part of their manufacturing. Not only are they storing it, don't get me wrong, but they need it as part of manufacturing, especially inside of electronics. Gold is used a ton inside of that, and so they use it for manufacturing. The second part of it inside of gold is that, people are buying it because it's low in value, and they're using it as some sort of a hedge for a economic catastrophe or something of this nature. So you're going to propose that gold is the savior for everything. If you think the whole world is falling apart, we're going to go back to a gold standard, and you have to do that. Well, we're not doing that. We're not falling into that standard at this point in time. I'm not saying we never will, but we're not at this point in time. And so that reasoning for gold is not jumping the gold prices up. And that safe haven for inflation and problems isn't happening at the moment, so we're not seeing gold price jump up as a result of that.
All right, I tell you what, we need to take a break for some news. We'll come back. The phones are lighting up, and we'll talk more with Merle Kelch here on WSAU. Stay with us.
Tacos, a cheese, and a large soda. That's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. Israeli forces are intensifying their search for three Jewish teenagers in the West Bank. One of the boys is a U.S. citizen. The teenagers disappeared on Thursday night while they were hitchhiking. Closer to home, Raimundo Perez was found guilty Friday of reckless homicide and child abuse for the death of his girlfriend's 2-year-old child. A Portage County jury of 6 men and 6 women decided by mid-morning that Perez was responsible for the injuries. Prosecutor Veronica Isherwood says the jury deliberated Thursday into the evening and again Friday morning. In the end, justice was done.
The verdict, I'm satisfied. I think it was the right verdict. But this isn't a happy ending, because nothing can bring that little 2-year-old back.
A sentencing date for Perez will be scheduled in a hearing on Monday. The recent jump in crude oil prices slowed down yesterday. One of the benchmarks for U.S. oil prices, West Texas Intermediate crude, rose only 0.4% to almost $107 a barrel. In Wisconsin, AAA says prices of gas have generally held steady over the last week. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Reds last night. Billy Hamilton knocking in the game winner in the ninth inning. The Woodchucks won their 7th in a row as they topped Green Bay. They play in Madison tonight. And the LA Kings are Stanley Cup champions. They beat the New York Rangers in double overtime. The weather forecast today, increasing clouds and a bit breezy with some showers or storms possible by evening and likely overnight as well, high 74. Tonight, rain likely, a low down to 47. Sunday, mostly cloudy, a bit more humid. A chance of rain and storms, most widespread in the morning, high 75. For Monday, partly cloudy and warm with a high of 84. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, a bit humid. Chance of showers and storms and a high of 81. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a slight chance of storms again, high 78. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Owning your own business is one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do, but it certainly isn't easy. For nearly 50 years, business owners have been getting the help they need from SCORE, all for free.
My SCORE mentor helped me take the first step.
He helped me create a business plan and helped me implement it.
SCORE mentors are passionate about sharing their expertise to help small businesses achieve success.
I could not have done it alone.
Whether you're a startup or an existing business, SCORE mentors can help you achieve your goals and help your business grow. With more than 12,000 volunteers with real-world business experience, SCORE is ready and willing to help make your dreams come true.
SCORE helped me to make the unimaginable possible, all for free.
Visit SCORE.org to get started today. SCORE, for the life of your business.
This is Stu.
Hey.
Like a lot of us, Stu begins his day with hope. Hoping for a smooth ride in.
Hope I get there on time.
Hoping for nice weather.
I hope it doesn't rain today.
And hoping he knows what everyone is talking about.
That was in the news.
For Stu.
What is going on?
The WSAU Wisconsin Morning News with Seth Mila.
Okay.
Stu would do less hoping and more knowing.
Yeah.
Where there's hope, WSAU.
And we are back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
Folks, the opinions voiced in this program are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC, HBEC Incorporated, and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies. And folks, this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
All right, we had a phone call coming in before the break, and they didn't hang around, so give us a call back. 715-845-2155 is the number to call here if you have a question from Earl. What else is on your radar screen over there?
You know, we have Mark Hulbert, which, you know, I'm really enjoying to Mark Harbold's articles in here, not just because he, you know, he agrees with me. And we talk about that on an ongoing basis, both Mark and I. But no, we really don't. But he has an interesting thing in here. What Mark Hulbert does is he has some 200 Market Timer newsletters that he monitors on an ongoing basis. And so what he did is he went back for the last 10 years and says, well, let's take the top five and see what their recommendations are going into the future and how they've done. And so obviously what's interesting is that the top five are all of them, all five of them are saying bullish for the future in 2014. One of them in here, Jeff Hirsch from the Almanac Investor Newsletter, says the Dow reaches 19,000 in the first half of 15. This is not me. This is them saying that. We see all indicators are a buy mode from Schnepp. Mark, our top timers unanimously are bullish. This is Jim Schmidt. Dan Sullivan says markets will finish 2014 higher. Nick Chase from the Contrarian's View, favorite indicator is bullish. And so as you look at this, it all goes through and talk about how the marketplace is all bullish and these timers are doing well. Interestingly enough, when Mark Hulbert went back the last 10 years and said who had the worst funds in the last 10 years as far as the market timing goes and newsletters and so forth, all of them also say that the market is going to be bearish and go down. But these guys seem to show a pretty good aptness for having a good rate of return. And there, too, are all pointing that the stock market is going forward as far as their indicators go. Some of them going through said, you know, if we take a look at the direction and the indicators is all that the market's going up. But some of them say we'll probably see some blips in the marketplace simply because we need some correction.
What numbers do these guys use, then, to base their opinions on? I mean,
Most advisors or newsletters or investment advisors, as they are market timers, they usually have some sort of a market model that they've built. So their market model has a number of indicators in there that tell them what direction they think the stock price is going to go one way or another. So in here, for example, Nick Chase probably has a number of indicators that he's looking at inside of a portfolio. Many of these portfolios look at where are interest rates comparative to the marketplace, where do you think GDP is going to go. They'll add in other types of variables, such as ISM numbers, et cetera, to build some sort of a model. So they don't have anything that you and I can look at, because usually they're models that they've built on their own. And looking at that, they're all pointing directly out into the future and for that growth. Now, that being said, there's another article that pops up in here, which is somewhat interesting because I like it. It says four stocks that have tripled and are set for more gains going forward. And we look at that and say, well, what kind of a thing would this be? And again, this goes back into our conversation before as, you know, I'm trying to look at the machines that are breaking up the road because I think they're a good idea. A number of years ago, we had some clients that were looking for individual stocks, and we'd actually recommended in our office one of the stocks that are on this list. But let me tell you about what they're looking at. If we take a look at you know, the market, the economy since 2008 going forward, we had a, you know, some could say depressionary, some could say severe recessionary event that we saw happen inside of 2008 and 2009. We saw the economy just about shut off. And Tom, during that period of time, guess how many new cars are sold? Well, we know the answer to that because nobody bought Ford or General Motors or Dodge, and we just had a huge shakeup. But what people tend to do then is they tend to replace the stuff that they already have. Same thing inside of a home. If you're not buying a new home, you have to repair and replace the stuff that's inside of the house. And so, therefore, as a result, you tend to look at, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot and those types of companies, because those companies are going to allow us to do our own repairs on our home do well. Well, in here we had the auto parts stores. And the one that I enjoyed most was O'Reilly. I liked O'Reilly simply because they're putting new stores up all over the place. Their stores are helpful. You can go in there and say, okay, I need a hand with my windshield wiper, and they'll help you put it on. I mean, it's a really helpful type of a place, and I really like that. I thought they did a heck of a good job. And so as a result, then, we see this article that pops up. It talks about over the course of the last number of years, the rate of return that they saw inside of auto parts stores. For example, the four that they talk about inside of this article, and let me make sure I get this article. It's an article by Philip Van Dorn called Four Stocks That Have Tripled and Are Set for More Growth. So in here, he looks at four stocks: Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone, O'Reilly, and LKQ. We look at the rate of returns. Last year, 2013, Advanced Auto Parts up 53%. Not a bad rate of return, was it, in 2014? AutoZone, 35%, O'Reilly, 44%, LKQ. Say that three times real fast. Up 56%. But the rate of return looking forward on these things appears as though that it still has some real nice room for growth, because people are still fixing and working on their old cars. And not only that, if we're buying new cars, all of our old cars are going to our kids. And you know they got to fix it and put big wheels on it, large stereos, and make that thing boom when it goes down the road. So, interesting article. And looking at what are people doing. They're doing real well.
As long as we're talking about cars, there is an article, and it appears that Goldman Sachs is going to be taking a flyer on the electric car and EV market for cars. Mm-hmm. And they released a letter this week that is suggesting that, quote, the U.S. car market is an open field at a historical crossroads. Ethanol and EVs get an edge based on cost, potential emission reductions, consumer payback, and abundance of natural resources. The cost advantage is particularly attractive for Tesla. Goldman sees the EV market growing at a 30% clip to about 1.5 billion cars in 2025, with an upside potential if EVs, quote, become truly disruptive and a game changer the way Apple's iPhone was. Mm-hmm. Do you view electric cars and EVs like Tesla and like some of the others as a, quote, unquote, game changer? And if so, that certainly should be a segment of the automotive market that people should be getting into.
You know, I didn't see it as a game changer until these recent months. And particularly as we saw, Tesla CEO, Evan. I can't think of his first name.
Evan Musk,
that's it. This past week he came out, and I believe he announced it. Didn't he say that he was going to open up all of his patents that they've discovered with Tesla? And
to other electric car companies.
Other electric companies.
Yeah.
And that makes it a game changer now, because they obviously have it so that when you can drive your Tesla, and I believe the mileage in a Tesla like 300 miles before you have to charge it?
It's a lot. And,
it's something like
yeah.
this. And that's always
cars
been,
are expensive. I mean, they're so expensive that most people can't afford them.
Well, I think that becomes an economy of scale. I think as you have the ability to do a lot more, I think you have a better way to I think as you have more companies going into it, adding more research and et cetera, I think that starts to come down. But I like the idea of the electric car. Not only that, but if you're a car enthusiast, you like acceleration, Tom, electric cars are more fun because they're faster than gas cars. They're actually quicker.
No, you're just making. Oh, no, you're just telling. You're just seeing if I'm listening
not,
over
not
here.
Not at all. It's actually true.
Really?
Did you ever go to the Rock and Roll roller coaster in Disney?
I can't say that I have.
You have to do that. It's actually all electric. When you take any of the rides that they have in Disney, they use all electric. And guess why? Because DC motors are faster than gas motors. When you hit the on button, you're gone. It takes off. You're not waiting around.
Why are so many people complaining that the reason they won't get hybrids or electric cars is they don't like the pickup you get out of them? There's not enough power for
them. That's because the companies haven't turned them on to make them go cool yet. You turn them on to the cool stuff, as it'll throw you back into your seat. It's a blast.
Well, shares of Tesla went up on Friday, and actually they were down for the week, but they've been down the last 3 months. But over the last 12 months, Tesla stock is up 110%.
Not bad, is it?
Yeah.
No, not only that, but you're looking at Tesla's going to be opening up what they're calling the Giga Plant. It looks like it's going to go to Texas. I'm guessing that's what it says, at least from all the other roads. But they're going to open up one of the world's largest manufacturing facilities to start building the cars.
Which should help because apparently right now demand for electric vehicles continues to outstrip Tesla's ability to supply the market.
Yes, Tesla's actually had it. So if you had a used Tesla and you sold it on eBay, you got more for it than you bought it for. has been a thing. You know, if you haven't
the
seen
only
a Tesla,
car that Tesla's doesn't are, depreciate in value?
Well, I think it's just because it's such a high demand at this particular point in time. If you haven't seen a Tesla, Tom, they're beautiful. I mean, they're beautiful. They're works of art on wheels. But I think they've got some stuff right that's over and above the other manufacturers. And if they're willing to share their patents on what they do, it's only going to make it better for everybody. I like the idea of an electric car. Now, this coupled with, and if you haven't seen this, I saw it on eBay, and I saw it around different places as a company. And I think this, they're calling themselves Solar Highway is the marketing group. They call themselves Solar Highway. Have you seen this?
Well, I saw the there's a YouTube video out there as well. Yeah,
there's a YouTube video. And essentially these people, and I don't remember, I think they're Idaho, aren't they? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, they found a way to create the certain type of a pod that they make highways out of. And you can run plows over the top of it. It's actually heated. They can make it so it's heated. They can actually put lights on the inside so it'll light up the roads that you have for your parking lot or your road. And it looks like it's also going to be a game changer. I think this thing can do some amazing things. So rather than our roads being asphalt, they're actually solar panels that go inside of modules. And with the solar panels inside of modules, they can, you know, heat them over sidewalks. They can heat them in different areas so that you don't have the snow and the ice on them, et cetera, et cetera. And so now we couple that along with the electric car technology. Though we may be years away from seeing any sort of a real change in it, I think that there's a possibility there of game changers. And those are the things that you try to have. Work well for you. You want those game changers.
When you read about the idea behind solar highways, and it seems like all of this stuff should have been thought of years ago. It makes such perfect sense.
Yeah, but the technology's got to get there to make it worthwhile.
Right.
You know.
All right. Let's go to the phone here this morning. We've got a call coming in. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is Ron.
Hey, Ron. Go ahead. You're on with Merle.
Morning, Ron.
Hey, morning. We have a couple kids that got some student loans. They're both out of college. One is around $30,000. One's around $18,000. And we'd like to help them pay them off. Is there a better way to do this tax-wise?
Yeah.
If we were to give them pay one off at a time for the lump sum?
You know, I think here's one of the things that I'll recommend, Ron. You know, the loans, you can either pay the loans off, but you're not going to need to write off on the interest rate. And one of the ways you can do it, but you have to think about it, and a lot of people get a little bit of emotional when I start talking about this. One of the ways that's still available for us to help do this is you say, well, let's say we've got about $30,000 in loans. What if we just simply take a home equity loan for $30,000 and pay off the student loan? One, you're going to get a lower interest rate today with the interest rates being so low. The second part of it is the interest rate that you're going to have to charge in that loan now is tax deductible because you can write it off as an interest rate expense. Now you have to get over the emotional part of putting a loan back in the house, especially if the house is paid for. But from every mathematical number, using a home equity loan to pay off the student loan, then paying off the home equity loan makes perfect sense all the way across the board.
All right. All right.
Is that an idea?
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155. Sounded like his cell phone was dropping out there. We need to take a break. We're going to come back with more. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Do you live with stress? Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block, a naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, alertness, and focus in just moments. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in just minutes. Call us now for this exclusive Stress Block risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-566-0803. That's 1-800-566-0803. Call 1-800-566-0803.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've been taught that father knows best.
That's right, I certainly do.
At this Father's Day, you can let him think that.
Don't worry, everyone. I know exactly where I'm going.
But when it comes to news, weather, and sports on every other day of the year...
Okay, let's see. We just make this next right up here, and... oh, my. Roll them up.
When you can't depend on Dad.
Well, the map is obviously wrong.
WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. The job market. Job numbers come out every week or every couple of weeks. What are they telling you these days?
Well, the job numbers, of course, we're creating some jobs every month, but the amount of jobs that we're creating are really replacing the number of jobs that we have coming out. But there's an article that's coming in here that by Rex Nutting. And Rex Nutting, of course, is a pretty conservative guy. I mean, he's coming out here and he's talking about what happens if we start increasing all the wages dramatically all over the place. And what does that do with the job rates? Well, you know, the official number for a job rate is 6.3%. But you look at it, and the real unemployment rate based upon people who say they'd like to have a job is estimated probably about 14.5%. Now, that's some people who say they'd like a different job in that whole bit. So taking out, as he's talking about, and this is his article, taking out the walking dead, he said maybe the real unemployment rate is actually 4.1% because of those people who may not want to work, he said, but those who are unemployed and not working is probably about 14.5%. And so in here he says, so what happens if we just simply say, well, we're just going to now pay higher wages to everybody, and it's going to force companies, of course, to raise their prices, and that's going to lead to more inflation, and pretty soon, you know, he puts in his article, Zimbabwe, which, of course, is having problems like that. You know, in here, I see the
raising
rising
the
price
minimum
of
wage in the United States is cause us to become Zimbabwe.
This isn't my argument. This isn't my argument. I'm just reading the article, folks. And the article, of course, is here's why you should get a raise. Well, getting a raise is not a problem. We usually our wages go up about 2% per year, 2.1%. I'm looking at the hourly wages that go up. In looking at it, in some small business owners, I assure you that if the wages go up from $8 to $15 per hour, what's going to happen is the owner is going to take a lot less income for himself to pay those wages, right? The answer is no, he's not going to. So somewhere along the way, the prices are going to go up, and it's going to create wages in hikes or hikes for that particular good or services and so forth. If it happens widespread, it could, of course, create inflation issues and issues, and I think that's the argument that happens.
And yet there are companies that decide that higher wages and better benefits are beneficial. Costco is a perfect example. Compare them to Walmart as far as what they pay, the benefits they offer, and whether or not their prices are competitive and sometimes lower than their competitors.
And it's a wonderful example of exactly that. I think the issue comes in if the small employer makes it
right.
a little bit difficult.
Yep.
And that's where the part where I have a lot of fear in. You know, in my opinion, should Walmart pay more? Yeah, I think they probably should. I'm familiar with how much they pay in some instances. Yeah, I think they should pay more money. And there's a number of manufacturing companies that are larger that around. I think they should pay more money. But largely, if you've got somebody who is a small business owner and he and his wife and they've got five or six employees and now you're going to double their wage costs. It's either going to drive them out of business, and now the people who were there are now also additionally unemployed. Yep. And I think that's where some of the problems tend to come in.
Well, we're getting close to the end here. You have some upcoming classes that you want to talk about.
We have some classes coming in. We're waiting for our pending dates, but it appears, though, it's going to be mid-August. Again, looking for Tuesday and Thursday dates at our friends here at the University of Wisconsin. I think we're going to do the Green Egg Fieldhouse is what we're waiting for classes. Look for us on Tuesday and Thursdays, our four-week classes that we do. Four-week classes, $49 for the cost of the book. And the entertainment over the course of 4 weeks, myself and in our office, the very attractive David Mix, at least he's attractive in his own mind, will be joining us doing the class. Of course, Alan Haugum, we'll have to let you know, Alan, that you're doing the dates. We'll have to give you those dates that come up as we come along. So 4 weeks of class. We even have some sumptuous snacks, which includes chips.
Can people reserve their spots now in your office?
You certainly can. If you'd like to see our class and come to this program, we literally start out assuming you know nothing about investing. And we bring you along to actually having the ability to say, well, I know what that means from an investment standpoint, a state standpoint. Give our office a call, 715-849-3600. Reserve a spot for yourself and for your guest. Come along. You will learn a ton. We recommend it greatly.
All right. We're just about out of time here. But if folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
I'll be fishing.
Okay. If they want to get a hold of you the next time you're in the office, how can they do that?
I'll be at Lake Winnebagoche. Come on up. But, folks, stop on in 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street here in Wausau, Wisconsin. Stop into the office. See if you can catch us. Certainly come in for a cup of coffee, kick the tires, et cetera, et cetera. You can give us a call, 715-849-3600 here locally inside of Wausau. Outside of the Wausau area at 866-355-5100. Or call us or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, brother. See you.
Burl Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. It's coming up on 9 o'clock. The news is next. That'll be followed by the Polka Shows. Brewer baseball tonight as well. The Brewers taking on the Reds once again. 5:40 pregame show here on WSAU.
Today to ask people about marriage.
For starters, what's the best thing about being married?
Who I get to stay married to.
Togetherness.
To me, is having a companion.
My favorite thing about being married is that I have a partner.
Do you think your marriage is good for more than just the two of you?
Does it influence those around us?
Yeah, I think.
In a positive way?
I think so.
I would hope that people would see that when we're together that we really have a very true affection for each other.
What everybody wants, and we know we're lucky to have it.
The energy we give out in our home, I think, spreads out to other people.
Your marriage just continues to go on and on and on.
Oh, sure, and affect generations after us.
I think it really sort of stabilizes your whole community. It's a cornerstone of a society, right?
Sounds like a good marriage goes a long way.
It touches a lot of people.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
News, talk, sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Hundreds of volunteers signing up in Baghdad to fight Sunni Muslim militants advancing in northern Iraq, saying they'll march to the capital.
This is the situation as we understand it across the north of the country. The key cities of Mosul, Baiji, and Tikrit are now controlled by ISIS. The militants' latest focus is Diyala province. The Iraqi government has pushed